Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, April 22nd, 2015. And hey, happy Earth Day, everyone. With me today, I have the always awesome Kelly Goumont. How are you?
I'm well, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing good. And my resident troublemaker, John Martellaro. How are you?
Good morning. The resident Earth guy, yes.
That's right. Okay. Now, the funny thing in Boulder, considering how environmentally conscious and environmentally friendly people tend to be in this city, is that I haven't seen anything in town yet today touting Earth Day. But 2 days ago, on April 20th, you couldn't walk down Pearl Street Mall without seeing a group of people cheering as someone lit up a joint. Go figure. Anyhow, yeah, yay Boulder. All right, so glad to have both of you here. Also glad to have Coco Tech and their Pathfinder 7 application as our sponsor this week. Yes. We'll talk about them soon. But before we do that, John, you wrote a really interesting piece yesterday that really tied the Apple Watch into the whole James Bond thing and James Bond watches. So let's take a look at that.
One of the readers pointed me to a really nice article at the 007 Museum that sort of described the history of the watches in the James Bond films, all starting with Dr. No, where Q provided Bond with a watch that had a Geiger counter looking for nuclear missiles. There was a watch that James Bond had in GoldenEye with the laser cutting tool.
That's the watch I want.
I bet Apple would like to have the battery in that watch. And then there have been watches throughout the history of James Bond that did interesting things. There was one in Live and Let Die where it was a Seiko watch, I believe, where M could communicate with Bond by having a little like Times Square scrolling message across the top of the display, things like that. So, you know, for all the time we've been watching the James Bond movies, we've seen James Bond and with the different actors, but different watches doing things.
Bond was texting before texting was cool.
Well, I was getting instructions from M, I guess. And maybe that information that we saw in the movies, I'm suspecting that it kind of seeped into our consciousness. And so when the smart watches started coming out, we all kind of just clicked in and went, oh, yeah, right. These can do cool things. They can monitor our pulse. We had fantasies about maybe, in early days about maybe monitoring our blood sugar, blood glucose. Of course, the Dick Tracy aspect of the watch, being able to make a phone call on your watch. So the article kind of goes through the history of that, and it also suggests that Sir Jonathan Ive being British and James Bond being British, it's not hard to see a connection there with Mr. Ive's awareness of the movies. I talk about a section in Lander Caney's book where Johnny Ive got interested in manufacturing techniques for the phone in 2005 and started visiting I think it was Swatch and some other companies to see the very tiny screws and highly machined components and parts that they used for the manufacturing of watches. And that was introduced into the manufacturing of the phone. So I don't think there's much doubt that carried forward and that Johnny and I both had an appreciation of watches from an aesthetic standpoint of wearing one and also perhaps awareness of the kinds of cool things they could do in the James Bond movies. Including deflecting a bullet with a magnetic field, which is pretty hard to do with lead bullets. So that was the gist of the article, and I kind of wrapped it up into a nice, tidy package suggesting that when the Apple Watch came out, we went, oh, yeah, I'm not a secret agent, but boy, I sure have to have one of those.
Yeah, I keep thinking how you're saying Dick Tracy, and I think that's just like way out of date. It's Johnny Sacco.
Oh, it's been a sort of a holy grail though throughout the years, right? I mean, to be able to make a phone call on your watch has been something that's permeated in our psyche for a long, long time.
Almost as long as making a phone call with your shoe.
Of course. Of course, Kelly.
Yeah. So, all right. So I looked at your piece and I thought, okay, I can see the coolness thing here because the Bond watch, whatever it is always perceived as a cultural cool thing, at least for a subset of the population. And there was that point we hit where all of a sudden Bond is using a digital watch, which I thought was very interesting, and it was a sign of the time. So like in Moonraker, mm-hmm. I think that's the first movie where Bond has a digital watch, I think. And
I think it was a Pulsar, wasn't it? With the red display?
I think it was a Seiko.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Okay, we have someone out there listening right now that totally knows their Bond watches, and they'll fix us on that. And
they're shouting at us right now.
They are, and my guess is they're shouting, "You're wrong, John." now I'm wondering, considering how different aspects of Bond have mirrored pop culture and current technology and social trends. I'm wondering, are we going to end up with Bond wearing an Apple Watch?
Well, I think it's too late for Spectre because isn't the movie supposed to come out in November? And I'm betting the filming is over and they're in post-production. Oh, sure. So,
well, actually, the publicity
still filming.
Shots, he's wearing, I believe, the same type of analog watch that Sean Connery wore.
Is it the Omega?
The Rolex Perpetual Oyster?
I can't remember, but the band is very similar, but slightly different colors, this is why I don't get to go out and see people, because I notice things like this. Yeah, so no, there's no Apple Watch as far as I know, Inspector.
There will be though in the next movie.
That's what I'm wondering.
I thought it was Omega. I thought that was the James Bond watch. Am I completely misremembering that?
Well, the original James Bond watch was the Rolex Oyster Perpetual Chronometer.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then throughout the years, he changed to different watches. There was one movie where he actually changed watches in midstream. That might have been the Moonraker thing. So we might both be right, Jeff.
Oh, that's possible. If so, you're saved on a technicality.
Yay. If only there was like jamesbondwatches.com that would help us clear this up. Oh, wait, there is.
I'm not surprised at all. And my guess is that even before you said it, Kelly, there were some people that had already brought the site up and were double-checking our facts.
Yeah, it's Omega back to 95, and then License to Kill was a Rolex, Tag Heuer for the Living Daylights, and then Seiko. We have two unknown movies, and then Seiko, Rolex, some Gruen, I think is how that's pronounced. Dr. No was a Gruen watch.
Huh, so. Well, there you go. And maybe for the next movie, they'll have to update it and add Apple Watch in.
My favorite thing about the watches that James Bond wears is never what kind of watch it is. It's what kind of crazy crap Q built into it. And so if he did in fact end up with an Apple Watch, I would want to see the extra stuff that James Bond's Apple Watch can do.
Oh yeah.
I expect a holographic display, something like Princess Leia popping out. Help me, Obi-Wan. You're my only hope. Something like that.
That would be amazing.
A holographic projection of a 3D printer and creates a gun on the spot.
With steel bullets so they can be deflected by magnets.
Right.
We laugh now, but that's totally what's going to happen. Spoilers, John. Jeez.
Yeah.
So the thing about – that's always the thing that I like about James Bond. It's never like, what model of Aston Martin is this? It's – what kind of stuff did Q build into it to make it really awesome? And that's always the part that I like. So I'm very interested, regardless of what watch he actually ends up toting. I'm very curious to see what kind of cool stuff it can do. Didn't he pull a garrote out of one time? And
yeah, that was from Russia with Love.
Yeah. So, you know, like, what kind of awesome band is his Apple Watch going to have?
Yeah, the Milanese Solar Sail. That's my assumption. Yeah.
I love it.
Anyhow. All right, so that conversation totally did not go the direction I expected it to, but that's okay. That's totally fine. Hey, we have a sponsor this week.
Yay.
That we do.
Yes, we do. And our sponsor is Pathfinder 7 from CocoTech. And I'm really glad that they are sponsoring us again, because Pathfinder 7 is a really cool application for your Mac that enhances what you can do in the Finder, but beyond the Finder, because it's its own application. So really great utility for managing the files on your computer and being more productive than you can be just with the Finder. And one of the things that I love about Pathfinder 7 is the fact that with just the click of a button, you can turn or you can change the visibility of invisible files, meaning all my invisible stuff suddenly becomes visible. And that's awesome, because there are times where I'm working with documents, like occasionally to this day, I still have to get at an htaccess file for a website.
Yep.
And when I do that, well, I need to be able to see that invisible file. Pathfinder 7, no problem. I can connect to my remote servers. I can see the invisible file, and there you go. Direct access to it. And I mentioned yesterday, and I have to say this again because I just think it's an awesome feature. You can put panels at the bottom of your Pathfinder windows and put different things in there. So, like, I have one that's a terminal display, so I don't have to launch terminal to do terminal commands. You can set one so that you can change permissions on files and folders, do labels, get info on files. So, like, you click on a graphic file, and then boom, mm-hmm. It shows you all of the metadata that goes along with that image. Stuff like that. Absolutely wonderful. So Pathfinder 7, it costs $39.95, except for you, our dear listeners, because you can use the discount code TDO and get 25% off through June. So that makes it $29.95. So what you need to do is go to their website, cocotech.com/Pathfinder, download the demo so that you can try it out for a few days and make sure that it does everything you want. And it will. And then use the TDO discount code, get yourself 25% off, and start being more productive on your Mac right away. So thank you, CocoTech and Pathfinder 7, for being our sponsor this week.
Yay.
All right. So the other thing I wanted to take a look at today is a piece that I wrote yesterday. So I've been watching Apple Watch apps pretty closely.
Mm-hmm.
And I put together a list of 10 apps that I thought would be like really cool ways to show off what your Apple Watch can do when you get it come Friday. You lucky people that are getting it on Friday. And so I'm curious. Well, first, I'm going to toss out a couple apps, but I'm curious if there are any apps that you guys have found that you think are absolutely awesome additions for Apple Watch. And yes, I know that it's in some respects, it's hard for us to say that because we haven't been able to try these apps out yet. So they have some expectations to live up to. So one of the apps that I have found that I'm like, oh, yes, please. 1Password. They have an Apple Watch app. So you're going to be able to look at your whatever data that you need to look at from 1Password right on your wrist. And you're not going to be able to use it to enter passcodes because that's not how an Apple Watch works.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say you're someplace where you have a key code that you have to type in. You can look that up on your watch. Or if you have secure notes with information that you need to reference quickly, you can do that from your watch. And it's just one of those apps where I'm like, at first when I heard it was going to come, I was like, well, why do I want 1Password on my wrist? And then I started seeing what they're doing, and I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. I need 1Password on my wrist. And the other app that I am just...
Jeff, I think that's going to be my number one app, because whenever I walk into the bank and I want to deposit some money, they say, hi, what's your account number? And I go, Wait a minute.
And it'll be right there on your wrist.
It'll be right there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Totally get it. Okay. So the other app that I have been champing at the bit to get on my wrist is OmniFocus. Yeah. And if you're not familiar with OmniFocus, what's wrong with you people? No, OmniFocus is an amazingly powerful and flexible task management app. And if you're into the whole getting things done scene, this is an app that you'll absolutely love. I'm not a GTD person myself because I found that even though this isn't how it's supposed to work, GTD became a thing where all I was doing was trying to organize GTD stuff. And I wasn't actually getting anything done. So I went back
always sharpening tools and never cutting wood.
That's right. So I stopped sharpening and I started cutting and hacking. And OmniFocus, for me, even without being a getting things done fan, is...
helps you get things done.
Yeah. It's
I'm going to make a prediction, Jeff.
Okay.
The first wave of these apps will be what the developers think they can do and what's cool and what can leverage off the phone. And then what will happen is that we'll discover that we'll be happier with the presentation on the phone because too much was squeezed into the Apple Watch. And so there'll be a second wave of apps that understand that and give us only the information quickly and succinctly that we wouldn't have gone to the phone for. And all those apps that were kind of a little bit too complex and tried to do too much and that we said, now I'd rather do this on my phone, will kind of die away. That's my prediction.
Either die away or they will change so that they're more appropriate for an Apple Watch.
Yeah.
Now, some apps, I'm betting they won't really need to make changes in that sense, but they'll just find ways to refine and enhance what their apps do. Because there's some developers out there that totally get how to make an interface that's useful for us. And they understand the difference between the platforms and why you want to see certain things in one place but not somewhere else. So I think there'll be some apps that people are going to be like, yep, nailed it. And yes, there'll be other apps where it's just a failed attempt to effectively use the Apple Watch screen.
Exactly.
Now, one of those I think that nailed it, Jeff, based on the shots that you have in your article is Dark Sky, which is my second favorite weather app only because there is Carrot Weather, which makes me even happier, but it's powered by the information from Dark Sky, so I'm still getting all the same info. And the reason that I love Dark Sky is because for people who aren't familiar, Dark Sky is a weather app that through, I believe, equal parts NOAA data and dark magic, tells you exactly what the weather's going to be where you are. So if I'm out working in my yard, which is vast, I'm able to look at Dark Sky and it will say it's going to start drizzling in 12 minutes and it's going to let up 19 minutes later and then it'll be clear for an hour. And I need to know that because if I'm trying to do something, I want to make sure I'm not that is, you know, maybe not good to do in the rain. It'd be nice to know, you know, and it tells you exactly and it's really, really good at it. And I don't know how, but it's awesome. So,
it is amazing.
So weather is exactly the kind of thing that is a perfect set of information to have on your wrist. Pick it up, look at it, and go, you know, is it going to rain? You know, because maybe you want your raincoat with you, you know, if you live in Portland and you have all kinds of coats for all kinds of situations. Maybe you just want the one that keeps you from getting rained on. And so now you know what coat to take with you if you're going to be gone for a couple of hours. And it's fast. It's unbelievably reliable. And it's an app I really, really like. And so that's one that I think I'm sure the interface will continue to evolve and change over time. But one of the things that I really like about it is that it is the perfect kind of heads up information that you need in order to, you know, on your wrist. It's the kind of thing that you really want to have there. So like you were excited about OmniFocus and I too am excited about OmniFocus, or at least I would be if I was getting a watch. One of the things that I really like that I think is a perfect companion for the watch is Dark Sky.
I agree. And Dark Sky, 1Password, and OmniFocus will all be on my Apple Watch the day it shows up. Absolutely. John, is there any app that you're looking at thinking, yep, this shows off how cool Apple Watch is?
Well, I'm kind of in Kelly's camp. I think a quick look at the weather would be nice. when I was thinking about quick looks, I was wondering about how the display is going to light up, especially if you're resting your hand on the desk, and whether you have to, it sounds like you're going to have to raise your hand from the desk in order to light up the display. And I was pondering that previously to the show. So that could be an annoyance. And my feeling is that the watch should act as a default watch. You know, I've heard there's a low power mode where it's running out of battery and it says, oh, I'm going to be only a watch for you. So that's kind of cool. What I'm looking forward to is PayPal. I can't wait for the first time I walk into Sprouts or Whole Foods and I just wave my watch over the terminal and I walk out of there and I'm done.
I think you're confusing PayPal with Apple Pay.
Did I say PayPal?
You totally did.
Oh, delete that.
Okay, thank you, because I was very confused how anybody could be excited about
PayPal on my mind because I was doing PayPal yesterday with my wife on a project. So,
I'm trying to figure out how you're excited about PayPal.
I can't believe I would have said that. Have I mentioned I love Apple Pay?
What time is it? So yeah, not lately.
Yeah.
See, John, I figured you would say OpenTable, which is on Jeff's list.
Yes,
because
that's on my too.
Yeah, because yeah. I know that you have employed it on your phone in the past.
I had OpenTable, and I can't wait to be able to sit at my table at a participating restaurant and actually pay with Apple Pay through OpenTable at my favorite restaurant. That's kind of slow in coming, but I think it hasn't been as fast as the regular implementation of Apple Pay. But I think once it gets some traction, restaurants will catch on. Because, yeah. Fiddling with the binder and fiddling with paper receipts and and a pen that, the last table's kid chewed on for a half an hour, then they put it back in the book and now you're signing your receipt with it. I'm just looking forward to Apple Pay on my Apple Watch.
Well, the thing about Apple Pay that I think is the killer app, air quote, for both Apple Pay and the iPhone is each other. Because with the watch, I would have access to Apple Pay, which I don't have now because I have a 5S. So anybody who's in my camp, who's on the evolution track, and buying a phone every 2 years instead of the revolution track, if you're somebody who is waiting for a 24-month contract to time out, you can get an Apple Watch now and you can just start waving that thing at crap and paying for it. And it's awesome. And I think that, it's all the tall phones. So even the iPhone 5, if you're somebody who got an iPhone 5 or maybe you're somebody who, picked that up, instead of a 5S, for whatever reason, and you're waiting on the contract on that one to time out. Anybody with a tall phone can hook the Apple Watch to it and get access to all the Apple Pay that all the iPhone 6 people have been doing all this time.
It's a great reminder, Kelly. Excellent.
And I think it's going to A, make the watch very popular, and B, it's going to open up Apple Pay to even more people because. If it were at all possible for me to get a watch, this was the number one reason I wanted the watch in the first place, was as soon as they said it would be compatible with a 5S and Apple Pay, I'm like, oh yeah, you're going to let me strap that thing on my arm? Like, that's the only way that it would be neater, because we sort of have the Techno One up at my house. And so right now, Mr. Kelly's got the big phone and he can wave it at stuff and pay for it because he's got a 6. And I'm like, oh, I wish I could do that. Now I don't have to wish I can do that because I don't even have to do that. I could just wave my arm at things. And wouldn't that be cool?
That would be magic.
So I think this is going to be, I'm very interested to see, given the adoption hockey stick we have already with Apple Pay, both in users and in vendors, once this is a common thing, and it's going to take a couple months before people can actually get one. We've already talked about it's online only through May. Once the watch becomes more common, I think it's going to blow Apple Pay wide open. I really, really do.
I have a feeling you're right. And hey, we are out of time, so we have to wrap up.
Alrighty.
I know.
If we must.
Okay.
I know.
We should totally come back and do this tomorrow.
We totally can. We have the power. Hey, Kelly, thank you for being here today.
My pleasure.
And John, thank you for being here as well.
Indeed.
And Cocotec, thank you for being our sponsor with Pathfinder 7. Head over to their website, cocotec.com/Pathfinder. Use the discount code TDO. Get yourself 25% off Pathfinder 7. And listeners, thank you for joining us. And also, just in case you're planning on being around New Orleans just ahead of Memorial Day, I'm going to be speaking at the ACES conference in New Orleans. I'll make sure there's a link in the show notes. So you should totally sign up for the event and come and see me speak, because I love seeing you guys. All right. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.
Apple Pay, Apple Pay, Apple Pay, Apple Pay.